This is a replay of the Thursday night, May 18th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and we got 3 hours to spend together. I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We promised Elizabeth we'd find a cure for her earworms, and I mentioned that to someone earlier today and says, how do you get worms in your ear? That's not it. All right, those songs that go through your mind that you just can't get rid of no matter how hard you try. And so I've given you 24 hours to come up with a solution, and I haven't heard an answer yet. Doesn't happen to me too often, but I have talked to a number of people who are just driven darn near into a frenzy because of a repetitive song, and usually one they don't like. So what do you do to get rid of them? All right, couple of sad notes to start off the evening. Couple of Chicago deaths, and both of them hit me. One of them much harder, and actually the one that was really hard wasn't even a music death, although he certainly loved music. That was Sam Zell. Sam was my favorite billionaire, and he really was, and I didn't even know him. It was a deal where Sam was a friend of a friend in three or four different cases, and I always kind of had it on my mind that I'd, you know, get together and sit down with Sam because I just respected the hell out of this man. And, you know, I mean, 81 years old, and I know recently he hasn't been in good health, so it isn't totally surprising, but I think it's sad. Sam was one of the funniest people. He was also one of the most loyal people, period, as far as that goes. And I think one of the most honest, and which is kind of rare among billionaires in many camps. But he, if you're unaware, basically made his fortune as the grave dancer, as he was like to call. In fact, he had a little logo of a jester dancing on a coffin, because what he would do was buy distressed companies and turn them around. And that's how he got into radio, when he bought J-Cor from Terry Jacobs in the 90s. But many industries, probably not a major industry I can think of which he didn't have at some point an investment in. But really, in many ways, the father of the REIT, the Real Estate Investment Trust, a terrific libertarian, like I say, and just great. If I was a journalist, particularly a business journalist, he would be my go-to guy for quotes. So rest in peace, Sam Zell. All right, so that one, like I say, just my loss that I never got to know him. But even though I didn't, still, I always had a warm thought when his name would come up. The other one, Gerald Sims. Obviously, if you're a music lover, you have a warm thought for him as well. Renard Minor, who calls the show occasionally, who wrote Higher and Higher and Rescue Me, well, he knows Gerald Sims very well because it's his guitar work on both of those records. He was a session guitar player for Chess, and He was another guy who was, and you'd see it on all the people who have spoken since his death, on the relations he had. He left the Chicago area years ago, was living in a Seattle suburb, Burien, Washington. But he like I say, was the session guitarist. But more than that, he had a school, a music school near 79th and Cottage Grove. And in fact, every Tuesday he gave guitar lessons to his friend Chester Burnett. You probably know him as Howling Wolf. And interesting stories about the music school. In fact, a gal who worked for him described Howlin' Wolf, who was over 6 feet tall, and he'd come in carrying his guitar for a lesson, and it looked more like it was his violin case up against him. So 6.5 feet tall at that. And Gerald also had a dog, a Great Dane named Thor. And if you ever were at the store, you knew Thor. And just a terrific guy. He grew up in Chicago, and his mother at some point in his youth realized there was too much going on in Chicago. She had four boys, and she wanted them raised in a different environment. She moved them to Kalamazoo, got on a bus with them. And three of his brothers played sports, but Gerald Sims had a childhood bout with polio that left him with a limp. And so what he do, he picked up a guitar, and boy, we are better off for it. That's for sure. When he got out of high school, he moved back to Chicago, and that's when he got the job at Chess, and wound up in the Daylighters, and wrote Cool Breeze for them. And just definitely a good guy all the way around, and I don't have to tell you how good a musician, obviously. And so he played everything. He played a lot of blues, but the reality was soul was his preference, and there's a lot of obscure soul that you'll see the name Gerald Sims associated with. So in some ways, to me, he is absolutely record royalty. And he was an investor as well, owned apartment buildings on the south side, and in fact, he bought the building that housed Chess on South Michigan at the second Record Row, 2120 South Michigan, and ran his own label there for a while. And then he dreamed of turning it into a museum, and eventually, after he sold it in 1992, eventually that did happen. And so his daughter moved him there in recent years, so she and her daughter could help care for him. And in fact, it was a lot of anecdotal stories about that. So he had not been well for a while, had Alzheimer's, and survived by his wife. And boy, there's a lot of stories there too, with Carol and four kids and a couple of stepkids and eight grandchildren. So a visitation comes up on the 20th. So that is this Saturday at Modell Funeral Home on South Cass in Darien. So May 20, 9 a.m. to noon at Modell for Gerald Sims. Rest in peace, Gerald Sims. Yeah, he left a wonderful legacy for the rest of us. Then the third Chicago thing you probably heard on the news. Everybody's wondering what happened to Jamie Foxx, and I don't know. From the way his family, which is very tight-lipped at describing any of this, it made you come to some conclusions. And then when you heard earlier in the week that he was moved to Shirley Ryan Ability Lab, and it doesn't get any better for things like stroke rehab, just anywhere in the world, it's world-renowned. So don't know what happened to Jamie Foxx, but currently in Chicago and doing rehab. So hopefully he'll be fine. I'm sure we'll hear the rest of the story and hope it's a good one. All right, so we'll get to Leah and Marcus Hook. There's room for you too, particularly if you have earworm answers. But we'll hear a little Gerald Sims on Rescue Me coming up right here on WGN Radio. Same old feeling blowing up my spine. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, I will get to Rescue Me, but then I realized, yeah, I've got Gerald Sims on Cool Breeze. He wrote it and recorded it. Originally, it was on Tip Top in 1962. I've got an OK from 1963, same record. And I thought it was just a terrific song. Yeah, talk about a woulda, coulda, shoulda. So rest in peace, Gerald Sims. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Leah in Marcus Hook is going to start it off tonight. What's
Raleigh.
Going on? What's happening, Leah?
How are you?
Well, I'm kind of sad tonight.
Aw. Yeah. I made a list, but now, of course, I can't read it.
Oh, no, don't say that. Why can't you read it? Oh, no.
Can't read my own handwriting.
Oh, this is bad, yes.
No. First, I wanted to say about, you were talking to Stacy about those lean cuisines that she was eating and how bad they were. I was on them in the early 2000s. I was on those for 2 years, and I didn't lose one ounce.
Well, and I don't mean to claim that they're quote-unquote bad. It's just that it is, by definition, overly processed food,
and that, they're full of salt.
Well, there's a lot of sodium in it. That's true, but there are other things that that just are not necessarily conducive to healthy eating, and that's really true, sadly, across the board of anything that's going to be processed. And
but the Atkins ones aren't bad.
Well, they're not good either. You got stuff in there too that any of them, you're dealing with overly processed food. Period.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Atkins. If you some people go for the stuff that's like the Amy's, and then there's other stuff that they only sell in the I was going to say pet food. I don't mean that, in the health food stores. Oh God. It's like no in the health food stores. But in general.
Pet.
You're right. In general, it's not to cast an aspersion on any particular brand. It's that the bottom line is the process itself is just not conducive to to really healthy eating. So obviously, if your choice is, if I don't have something now, I'm not going to eat all day, that's not necessarily healthy either. So there are going to be times when, for expediency's sake, you'll try and pick the best of the worst, so to speak, and eat that.
Right.
But I just hope that people who are concerned about their health or their weight don't use that as a, as an aid for them, because it isn't.
Right, because it doesn't work.
Well,
I'm here to tell you it doesn't work.
Look at labels, and if there's anything you can't pronounce, you also can't eat it, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. There you go. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the horses that died at the Kentucky Derby. Did you hear about that?
I have not.
7 horses died before the Kentucky Derby, the day before.
What is the deal?
I don't know. I was hoping you could find out.
Wow.
I tried to look it up, and I couldn't find anything.
Here we go. 7 horses died over 10 days, Churchill Downs. Well, I have a very good friend, my former producer from Austin, Texas, Ron Flatter, who actually has a horse racing podcast and works for the racing people and is within spitting distance of Churchill Downs. So now I have a reason to call him, because I want to know. 2 of those happened on Saturday Derby Day. Now, I don't know anything about this. Look, WLKY has a story.
And I heard they were going to postpone the Kentucky Derby, but then they didn't.
Yeah, let's see what we get.
They were just like, oh, it's natural causes.
Well, now I want to know who's the trainer, because we had last year a question of a trainer and some testing that didn't look very good. I'm looking for who is the trainer.
So I like the thoroughbreds. I heard the guy talking last night. That's what reminded me of it. He was talking about the trotter.
Yeah, a slew of horses. Okay, 2 of those happened Saturday.
And I'm a thoroughbred fan, so.
And 2 others were under the same trainer. Okay, multiple horses died before Churchill released a statement promising transparency. Okay, so the first one was April 27th, before the meet officially started. Wild on Ice was hurt during a training session. Well, that's a whole different story, but a 3-year-old Texas horse hurt his hind leg around 6 a.m. and was evaluated and then taken to a surgical facility, and the injury was too severe and they put the horse down. All right, well, there's nothing suspicious about that, obviously.
Right.
Okay, sad, but not suspicious. Okay, April 29th, we've got Code of Kings. And, he flipped in the paddock, oh my God, a week before the Derby. So he was taken by ambulance to a clinic in Lexington, obviously a horse ambulance. But anyway, Tim Gleishaw was his trainer. He had a fractured neck, so he was euthanized because the neck was too unstable, and there was a good possibility of paralysis, so you don't really want to play with that. So, okay, no. Two more died the fifth race on Tuesday. Take Charge Brianna was in a pack of horses before breaking down in the stretch, and the horse had musculoskeletal injuries from which they could not recover, but why? I don't know. Later, Chasing Artie was taken at the conclusion of the eighth race. Both horses died suddenly. They don't know why. They were both raised. So I don't know. Both of those horses.
Seven. I mean, it's scary.
Well, again, so far the first three we talked about, sadly, are sad, but not scary. But this fifth race on Tuesday, and both with the same trainer, and that may not mean anything. But then... So that's five horses before the track officially acknowledged the deaths, and we've got two more horses dying on Derby Day. Chloe's Dream was taken off during race two, and let's see here, get to Chloe again. Where are you, Chloe?
I'm thinking it might be COVID.
An injury sustained from which he could not recover and was euthanized.
Oh,
well, injuries are injuries. You know, I don't go with COVID there. So I don't know. The two I mentioned with the same trainer and not knowing really what happened there might be worth investigating, and they will investigate it, I guarantee it. But yeah, seven horse deaths in 10 days, but it does look like five of them were in fact accidental deaths that, you know, you can kind of look at the trajectory. But the other two, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't. But yeah, I'll reach out to Ron and try and figure out what he knows, because he usually knows all.
Yeah, maybe you could have him on.
Yes. I might wake him up right now. Yeah, wake up, Ron. All right, maybe I won't do that, but we'll have him on next week. Hopefully,
that would be great.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear from him.
I would too.
And the other thing. The earworm thing,
yeah.
I got this right from Albert, right from the horse's mouth.
Okay, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
And we'll pick it up right there. And Albert would know, being a musician also. We'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Well, I said I'd play it, and of course, what makes that record in many ways is that wonderful guitar work. Well, and it's just a good record, of course. Bernard Minor, who listens, wrote it, but that's Gerald Sims and his phenomenal guitar work for all those Chess record sessions and so much more. And he sadly died, and that was May 8th, 83 years old. Rest in peace, Gerald. All right, so Leah had mentioned about these horse racing deaths, and of course, I had not, these horses, seven of them, I had not heard a word about this, of course. And you're right, because I live under a rock. And so it was that I said, but I can find out, because the world's best racing podcast is Ron Flatter's, and I happen to know Ron. That's right, since he produced my show in Austin, and we've been inseparable ever since. So Ron, I knew, would have the real deal and all the information. So Ron, I can't believe you're still awake, although then again, maybe John awakened you. Thanks for joining us.
No, I just got back from dinner. I'm in Baltimore getting ready for the Preakness, and we just went for crab cakes at G&M.
Oh, so all right.
Now that I've mentioned that on your show, they better send you a lot of crab cakes.
Yeah, but man, after that meal, you're in a good mood. So, but I know you'll know all, and here I am. I had not heard a word. So what is it with these seven horses?
I should also mention, Raleigh James is the voice who introduces me on my podcast. So,
yes.
You know, we're going to have the Mutual Admiration Society here.
And where, by the way, before we go on, where can people find your podcast?
Well, you find podcasts, but if you want to do it the simple way, I am the managing editor of horseracingnation.com. And if you go there and you look for the podcast section, you'll find mine. But if you do it the old-fashioned way, like with Apple and Google and their Stitcher and your Spotify and all that, you'll find it there. Just type in Ron Fletcher, Flatter, and you'll find me.
All right. Good deal. Flatter. And, yeah, it's a wonderful podcast. And I'll tell you, yes, I do the announcing, but what I know about horse racing would fill maybe a thimble. But one day, Ron said, well, listen to it. And John and I both listened to it, and neither of us knows a damn thing about horse racing. And we were spellbound. We loved it. So the Ron Flatter Racing Pod. And I'm sure you've probably been talking about these seven horses.
Yeah, no, we haven't. But by the way, eight.
Eight.
We lost another one Sunday. Mm. This is the problem when we have these spates of deaths, because it can be when we don't have them and a racetrack will have a long stretch where there aren't any. Then you think things are going well and they're doing the right thing. But there's a certain amount of dumb luck to all this, either which way. But in the case of Churchill Downs, there are some things that have to be asked. In the case of two of these deaths, two horses were trained by a man named Saffy Joseph, a delightful man who is from Barbados, who moved to Florida some years ago to establish himself as a very successful trainer at Gulfstream Park. But he had two horses die on him inexplicably, and he says he wants to know why they died, too. Now, is he just sort of saying that, and, well, then the authorities are going to deal with him come what may? Okay, well, maybe, maybe not. But the investigation continues on his two horses. Okay, so that's two of the eight. That leaves us with six. There were a handful, including Staffy Josephs, who died as a result of injuries that were incurred on the turf track at Churchill Downs. They just spent a lot of money rebuilding the turf track at Churchill Downs, and it had a disastrous year last year. It was a horrible track. There was a death there in June, and they closed the track down, and they limped through the rest of the year, and things looked good. Looks good on top. A lot of grass looks good on top. The green part looks good. The brown underneath you got to worry about, and was there a question there? Okay, so now you got those deaths. You had one horse who was going to be in the Kentucky Derby that began this streak of eight, named Wild on Ice, came from New Mexico. Second time, same trainer brings a horse from New Mexico to Churchill Downs for a big race, and then it winds up having an injury. The first one was a filly in the Kentucky Oaks some years ago who did not die, but in this case, this was a catastrophic injury that did require the horse to be put down through euthanasia in order to keep him from suffering through the injury. And then the others were maybe garden variety in many ways, the injuries that horses will suffer, whether they're running in a field or racing on a racetrack. The bottom line through all this is that there's an investigation, or so we are told, into finding out what happened. There could be eight different reasons for the eight different deaths.
Yeah.
The problem in Kentucky, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, I call it the common stealth of Kentucky. Kentucky may be the least transparent state in the Union when it comes to horse racing, and this is horse country. But they don't report on their deaths. They don't report on their catastrophic injuries. They don't report on why horses appear on veterinarians' lists that are like red flags. They wouldn't have acknowledged the deaths of these horses during Derby Week, except Raleigh that it was during Derby Week. If they had happened in the middle of summer at Ellis Park near Evansville, I'm not sure we would have heard about any of them. And so that's part of the problem here. So we're still trying to get beneath the surface that we are scratching to find out what really happened.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about Kentucky, because after all, other than horse racing, all they got is bourbon. So I can't imagine they wouldn't be, very forthcoming. But now, a while ago, I remember talking to you about some mysterious deaths at Santa Anita. Did that ever get resolved?
To the extent that it could be, there were 37 deaths
Whoa.
At Santa Anita in the 2019 racing year. Now, that's spread out over a period of time, but let me give you that's an arbitrary number. It sounds bad. Well, we had 8 in the course of 12 days or whatever it was at Churchill Downs. Extrapolate that out. Well, okay, maybe that turns into 37 over 6 months' time. To give you a comparison, if you add up all the racetracks in New York during the same year that Santa Anita had 37, there were 100 in New York.
Whoa.
But that includes a lot of racetracks.
Right.
Includes a lot of racetracks, Finger Lakes and Saratoga, Belmont Aqueduct, and also the places where they run the trotters. So you're talking Monticello and Yonkers. There's a lot of tracks.
Yeah.
It's easier to get a real idea of what kind of racing deaths we're having when you consider, okay, let's put 1,000 racehorses out on the track. Okay, you have 1,000 horses who start races. How many of them survive? And generally, it's 998 and change. Honestly, and that's normally the number. You usually have between 1 and 2 per 1,000 that die as a result of racing or training. And by the way, that's another whole issue. We don't hear about training deaths as much as we should,
right,
when horses go out in the morning to exercise. So there's a lot to unpack there. With Santa Anita, some of it was the fact that the racing surface was suspect. A lot of it was the fact that unsound horses were being put out onto the racetrack to train and to go into races. Very often, the races are worth more than the horses. You put a horse out on the track, you run him out there. If he can hobble around the track and finish, say, 5th in a race that's worth $65,000, you might pay your veterinarian bill for the month. And it really comes down to that for a lot of these small-time trainers. In Kentucky, purses were recently raised a great deal because they brought in across the state historic horse racing machines. And you're saying to yourself, what are historic horse racing machines? They're a glorified way of saying slot machines. And these machines create money that gets poured back into the racing industry, and they put it into the purses for races, and that all sounds fine and good. But again, if the race is worth more than the horse, you put a horse in a race, hobbled as he may be, just so you can maybe get him to finish 4th or 5th, and you can pay your veterinarian bill. And that's a lot of what's happening, and they discovered that at Santa Anita. So what they've done out there and what they did at Aqueduct in 2011, when they had 21 racing deaths in the course of the winter, they decided, okay, you got to prove that your horse is fit before we even let him set foot on the racetrack. And at Aqueduct, you have to go through a series of measures. Did you, was there a reason you were not out on the track for this period of time? Did you race in a particular amount of time for the distance that he ran? Did it go underneath a certain time? Did it go over a certain time? Well, if it went over a certain time, we're not letting you back out on the racetrack. In California, they've gone so far as to invest in modern equipment that allows them to examine horses' legs and see if they are really sound before they let them on the racetrack. So the bad part of Santa Anita was 39 deaths. The good part was, because of that, they invested in equipment that allows them to see whether horses are sound before they can go out on the track. So if there's a simple answer, that's it. And maybe Kentucky has to do that.
Interesting. Now, the other thing around the time we were talking about Santa Anita and all that was Bob Baffert. And last I heard, he was suspended for 2 years, but if my calendar's right, he's about to get off suspension. Anything new in the Bob Baffert story?
Literally within hours, we're going to see him for the first time at a major horse race in terms of Kentucky Derby, Preakness, or Belmont Stakes. He has a horse in the Preakness Stakes named National Treasure.
Oh, wow.
And he will be one of the top 3 choices in terms of betting. And so Bob Baffert will show up at what we call a classic. 3-year-olds who race in these major races, those are called classics. And so he comes in for the first time in 2 years. The last time we saw him in one of these races, was 2 years ago here for the Preakness Stakes. So he will be back. Literally, we're going to see him on Friday morning when he comes to the barn for the first time. I've had a lot of conversations with Bob, both on the record and off the record, over the last two years, and even then before that. His suspension, the lingering suspension, is with Churchill Downs. That ends with the current meet at Churchill Downs early in July. But really, it ended with this past Kentucky Derby because he wasn't going to enter horses into these other races.
Yeah.
So he'll be able to come back to the Kentucky Derby in 2024. He's 70 years old. But you know, look, trainers go. Dwayne Lucas is in his late 80s and still going strong. So trainers go a while. So Bob's back, but the trainer I mentioned a few minutes ago, Saffy Joseph.
Yeah.
Some have suggested he's the new Bob Baffert. Maybe he becomes the poster child, scapegoat, example that Churchill Downs will trot out there for saying, okay, well, here's a guy who happened to have too many violations. We're going to ping him. Mm. Well, Baffert served his time, and so he's back, and so he'll be trying to win his eighth Preakness with this horse named National Treasure. And he's fought in court. He fought in court all along to try to restore the good name of Medina Spirit to win the Kentucky Derby, the win that was taken away because of a drug positive. Yeah. But he lost in federal court in the winter, and so on we plunge. But that now is past history, and we'll see about Bob Baffert this weekend, as soon as this weekend, in the Preakness Stakes.
Well, something tells me he didn't bring a bottle of Bobby's Secret horsey stuff, but do you happen to have any?
Well, the problem in Bob's case was he was caught using a legal medication at an illegal point.
Right.
The illegal point being, okay, well, it was supposed to be out of your horse's system by X number of days, and the bone of contention between the two sides was Bob would tell you, well, I gave it to the horse, and you can see it from the records, on such and such a day. The fact that it wasn't out of his system by such and such a day, whose fault is that?
Yeah, well, the horses.
Yes, it was Medina Spirit.
That's absolutely, that's the problem right there.
I think we solved the problem right here. All the 2 years, we could have solved it right here.
Exactly. Yeah, happy to help. Well, this is such great information, and I don't want to take away from the festivities in Baltimore, so thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. I would also recommend the baklava cheesecake that I had.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
You teaser you.
Can you imagine? I saw that, and I thought, oh, I got to try this.
Yeah.
It's as good as the wide eyes that you would have thinking about such
man.
A thing.
So, man,
yeah,
I'm
it's nice to be here this time of year, no doubt.
Absolutely. We'll enjoy every minute of it, and I'm sure we'll be calling on you again if you don't mind.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Raleigh.
Okay, good. So, Ron Flatter Racing Pod, wherever fine podcasts are found. Thanks. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. So, there's the story. Now you know. All right. So, I'm glad that Leah told us about that. And, that cheesecake does sound divine, doesn't it? Oh, we're going to talk to Renard Minor here, too. Of course, you know, I played Rescue Me, which he wrote, and, of course, it gives us a good reason to play Higher and Higher, too. But, unfortunately, it's a very sad reason with the passing of Gerald Sims, and I know that Renard knew him well, so we'll talk about that, too. We got JT and Aurora, who's got some requests, and Marianne in Chicago, who I think has requests or wants to talk about horsey stuff. But, yes, for Bob Baffert, by the way, Cox and Evergreen Liquors came out with Bobby's Secret horsey stuff. And these are the kind of things that I wish I had a bottle, you know, kind of like Billy's beer and all that, because this will be collectible. All right, we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, not the 45 mix, but a nice showing of Gerald Sims' guitar work nonetheless. And, of course, I mentioned Renard Minor wrote that, co-wrote it, along with co-writing Rescue Me. And I thought it was interesting that as the Gerald Sims obits are making the rounds, those are the two songs that they point out he played on. But that's just the beginning of Gerald Sims. And Renard Minor is joining us, so I'm thrilled about that. I bet it's a sad day for you, though.
It is, because I had left the room. My wife had, you know, we turn you on before we retire. But I was downstairs, and she said, she hollered, she said, Renard, Raleigh said Gerald Sims passed. I said, Gerald?
Yeah.
And I haven't talked to Gerald in years, but he was a tremendous guitar player, and he was also very talented. He was one time, if I'm not mistaken, the A&R guy at Brunswick.
And, yeah.
At Chess Records, Louis sat up there from Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Maurice White, and I, and Gerald, and when we got together all the time, there was a lot of love, lots of things that we talked and played and together with, and Gerald was just, he was a fantastic musician. All right, here we go. But at any rate, I've always admired him because of the forwardness that he had in his talent, and he didn't let anything get in his way, and regardless of opinion or whatever, he felt that he was on the right track, and a lot of times he was. You know how it was back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I had to get Herb Kent to beg Leonard Chess to put out Rescue Me, because...
So crazy.
We knew that Rescue Me. Anyway, but back to Gerald, you know, he was one of the main guitar players, Pete Cozy and Gerald and Louis Satterfield on bass and all of that, Maurice on drums. The point is that he was great, and mm-hmm. I've always appreciated him, and Chess Records should have appreciated him better than they did. But
Agreed. Now, did he play on Who's Cheating Who? Because I know you co-wrote that.
He played on all my songs.
Oh,
he
that's great.
Who's Cheating Who, We're Gonna Make It, There Is.
In the Basement?
Higher and Higher.
Yeah.
He played everything. He was on, at Philip Upchurch, too, come to think of it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he was on all the things I recorded practically because I was one of the main producers and writers there. And,
yeah.
And I picked him because I felt that he would listen. You know, you would get musicians that you try to explain something to them and you write it out and they still going to try because they still think they're on stage and they're going to play it their way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the case with Gerald. You explain it with him, you showed him on the keyboard what you wanted, and he would take heed to it immediately, and he had a great ear. He was very, very good. He was very, very talented, and I didn't know he was sick. I had no idea that he was ill like that.
Yeah.
I haven't talked with Gerald in years, but, you know, I've always heard talk about him, but except that he was sick.
Yeah, here was apparently the deal. His granddaughter, actually, it was, in Burien, which is a Seattle suburb, asked him and Carol to come, you know, his wife, to come live with them because he had developed Alzheimer's. And,
oh, my.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and, God love his granddaughter because she really stepped up to the plate and was really, really caring for them and also cared for the music and everything else. And so rest in peace, Gerald Sims. I mean, I think...
I know one thing.
Yeah.
That... Let me get it right. I know one thing, that guitar players are a dime a dozen, but this dude was a million, and
yeah.
He was really, really good with his instrument also. He could play with the best and even beat some of the best. And I'm not just saying out of prejudice.
Right.
I'm saying honestly because I have a great ear for music, and I love someone who can play their instrument that makes the instrument talk, and that's what Gerald Sims did.
Agreed. And there was another thing that his granddaughter had brought out, and I think this is really true. Even though Gerald, of course, played on a lot of blues and all that, his real love was soul. And you don't get that many musicians who are, you know, in that camp where they're saying, man, this is what makes my heart beat. And it really did for him.
And he even behind Mitty Collier, Sugar by the Santo, he played mostly every act that was at Jackie Ross, every act that was there, he was on it.
Yeah, Billy Stewart, of course.
A lot Stewart, by all means.
Yeah, the Jerry Butlers and the Willie Dixon stuff, too, going back to some blues also. But so many, many things, and like I had mentioned, In the Basement, which, of course, you co-wrote, which woulda, shoulda, coulda been a hit. And you can hear it on that, too.
I thought, did I ever tell you the story? Oh, I don't want to get from that. But anyway, In the Basement should have been a hit.
Yeah.
It was a club on 63rd Street. I can't remember what it was. I was a teenager, and the Gems, I had the Gems with us, and we were supposed to appear, and they wouldn't let us get on stage or nothing. They wouldn't even let us in the club because we were teenagers, about 18, 19 years old. And they wouldn't, even though we was from Chess Records. But the point is, I got mad. I said, where can we go where the lights are low and have parties and stuff? And I said, in the doggone basement.
Yeah.
I cleaned it up. I said, but so that's how that song came, because at those days you could go in the basement and have parties and have good times. You didn't have to worry about it. About anyone shooting and everything on that.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's a terrific story. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not trying to stay away. I'm not trying to put the light on me. Gerald was on that song, and he played it well, and Pete Cozy too. But Gerald, he was on In the Basement, and that's how In the Basement came, because we got mad. They wouldn't let us come in there, and I said, well, we can go have our party. Where are we going to have it? I said, In the Basement, damn.
Yeah.
And we went on and got the party together and sang and did a whole night, and the song came, and that's how it was written.
It's great. I'm going to play that later as well, along with some more of his singles, which not that many people remembered that, he was on OK and a few other labels as well. Now, the Visitation is May 20th, so it's this Saturday, if you can, and it's in Modell's, on South Cass.
I live out here in Naperville, so...
You're not far.
I'll send something if I don't get there, because, they took my driver's license away about years ago.
Yeah. Boy, I know that feeling. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good deal.
I'm glad I was able to catch a hold to you.
Thank you.
And I do listen to you sporadically. Sometimes I'm in the studio late, and then I'll come up and turn. Condolences to Scott. Oh, man.
Scotty.
Oh, yeah. I heard that about that, too. So, we're going to keep doo-wop alive, brother. You betcha.
So don't be a stranger, and I hope to talk to you soon.
No problem. I'll be around.
Okay.
And a matter of fact, I have a song that I really want you to hear. You don't have to play it. I just want your opinion on it, maybe. I just recorded it, and it's in the works being recorded, maybe, by... what's her name? Aria Grande. Maybe.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So give me your opinion. I'll try to get it to you.
Okay.
But Gerald, I'm here for you, baby. And
you
look here. I'll always hear your guitar strings in my ears because you were very, very good.
Yeah.
God bless.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye bye.
Okay.
Rock and roll.
So and Renard Minor, and just great writing, much like Gerald Sims, just great playing, and. I'll play In the Basement. And we're going to find out also, and I will play more of Gerald's singles on OK as well. There's one I really like, Little Echo, that we'll get to. But we're going to find out more about Scotty here in moments, right here on WGN Radio.
Down in the basement, yeah. Oh, where can you go when your money gets low? In the
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, 1966 on Cadet in the basement. Now I know from Renard what the story is. All right, if you can't make it to the Crown Propeller Lounge, well, you might as well go to the basement. Etta James and Sugar Pie DeSanto, and on guitar, of course, Gerald Sims. Now the late Gerald Sims. Hate to hear that. All right, so Dennis, who went out of his way to find the answer to the mystery, even though we didn't like the answer, as to where is Scotty, who, of course, sadly passed away on February 9th. Dennis is still in Chicago and area, and he's got an update. So, Dennis, what's up?
Well, I'm actually in Piqua, Ohio, the hometown of the Mills Brothers.
Oh, wow.
So, anyway, but I will be back in Chicago area in a few days. Raleigh, I can't escape the feeling that Scotty, whether consciously or unconsciously, chose this method to depart the world, to impart some beauty on all of our lives. I'm feeling better tonight than I did Monday.
Good.
The fact that he caused us to do this search caused us to learn a lot more than we otherwise would have. And I can't escape the feeling that it might be some kind of supernatural work here. I've had very few cases in my life where a very dear one departed the earth and left a great gift prior to their departure, not knowing they were doing it at the time. My brother, 16 years old, once had did two enormous acts of love that a 16-year-old kid normally wouldn't do, only to be cut down 2 days later by a drunk driver.
Oh.
He couldn't have known. And what he did imparted a great gift on the rest of us siblings that lasted for decades and still rewards today. And I've never told this story even to my family, and here I'm telling the whole Midwest, because I can't get into the details, but because I can't, you know, remain composed. But I see those things happen. My dear mother, same way, did a wonderful, great thing the day before she passed. She raised 5 strapping boys and a girl, lots of love, lots of discipline. Not too much discipline. I remember getting my mouth washed out with soap once or twice, but she never clobbered me over the head with a Western Electric 2500. So somewhere.
Well, you weren't calling radio stations in the middle of the night.
Well, if she knew some of the things I was doing with the phone, she might have been tempted. That's another conversation that we should have. Anyway, some of my efforts last week have borne additional fruit. A telephone call that I had made last week, cold call, was returned. And I have found a gentleman in East Chicago, Indiana, who has the soul to have looked a little deeper into Scotty's life, become acquainted with him. And he has an enormous amount of stuff to share. And I apologize for anybody who's on hold and for blowing up your show. You've got more bad news tonight for people that are passing. But this is going to be a little bit of good news. I'd like to introduce to you Cameron, who's on the line right now. And Cameron is in the music business and knew Scotty and has more details. I will tell you that Scotty did succumb while he was in the hospital. He did go to the hospital for some care, and that's where he passed away.
Okay.
His arrangements were all made and paid for and wishes made known, and he had a lady friend.
Oh, good.
Now, Cameron, we don't use last names here on the radio, but her name was Natalie. And Natalie, why don't you tell us a little bit about the lady friend, and Raleigh's going to have a lot of questions, and I'm just going to shut up and let you talk.
Well, and I'll mention that in another minute I got to go do news, but we've got a half hour after that. So, all right, nice to meet you, Cameron.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you?
You know, all of us have been kind of shell-shocked. We were hoping against hope that there would be good news, but alas, Scotty's in a much better place, and we're left behind.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. He affected everyone that he came in contact with. Just a beautiful person. He was cool. You know, that's the best word for me to say about Scotty. He was cool.
Yeah.
Whenever you saw him, he was walking cool. and he had his shades on, and he always had a kind word to say, hey, how you doing? Or if he was leaving, take care. You know, he was just a great person, you know. His friend, Nat, he had a wonderful relationship with Miss Natalie.
Good.
They were amazing friends, cared for each other, loved each other immensely. And she's still, you know, going through, the ups and downs of him not being here. So, and to learn that not only did he affect this city, but to know that he affected the listeners of your show, it's just amazing.
All right, I'm going to hold you right there. Don't go away, Cameron. I want to hear every word of this. And, of course, our condolences go out to Natalie. I can only imagine. We'll find out what's happening in WGN Radio News, and we'll be back right to it here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's more Gerald Sims' Little Echo. And Bob Catron wrote that, who also wrote Don and Delighter's Elephant Walk, which I know was one of Scotty's favorites. We talked about Donald Jenkins fairly often. And right now, we are talking to one of Scotty's friends, and we're getting some inside information from Cameron. So sorry for the interruption, and pick it up there, Cameron.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Yes, Scotty was an amazing person. I actually never got an opportunity to see his vinyl collection, but I was told by 4 to 5 people on different occasions that his vinyl collection was so extensive that when I got word that he passed, you know, I didn't know what was going on, you know, who would be cleaning out his apartment or anything like that. So what I did, I kind of knew the general area of where he stayed. So I would go up and down the alley just to see if I saw any records or any 45s or anybody cleaning a house out or an apartment out or anything. And I didn't see anything.
Thank God.
So that's the one thing that I have no information about is his vinyl collection.
Well, hopefully Natalie can shed some light on that.
Yeah.
Raleigh, I've got Sharon working on finding Natalie.
Okay.
Because Cameron doesn't have any specific information on her, so my sister is helping. When I was at Scotty's house, his mailbox was stuffed full of mail. So it's possible that nobody has gone there. I'm going to go back to, on the way out of here this weekend, I'm going to go back to East Chicago, hopefully shake Cameron's hand and spend some time with him, and then perhaps find out more about what's in Scotty's apartment, if anything.
Right. Supposedly, Scotty had a niece, and I don't know what the story is there. And Cameron, do you have any information?
Well, Sharon found somebody that isn't. Sharon found a niece. She does some stuff. She combines some. I don't want to say on the air what she actually uses, but it's It's the art of the ancestry stuff combined mm-hmm. with some other online resources, and she comes up with something pretty fast.
Okay.
So we're going to continue to explore that.
So, but, Cameron,
several people.
I was going to ask Cameron, how long was Scotty in the hospital? Do you know?
No, Scotty was only in the hospital, I believe, a day.
Wow.
You know, me and Dennis were talking, and I let Dennis know, you know, Scotty, he had all his affairs in order. All of his affairs in order.
So he knew.
Yeah, you know, there's a possibility that he knew, but he was, you know, he had begun having breathing troubles.
Right. We talked about that on the air, and I was so worried because his union had changed his insurance at the end of the year, and I didn't know what was going to happen with medications or doctors.
Right. So, you know, it had become hard for him to, you know, to do certain things. You
yes.
know? So, there were a lot of people, and there probably still are a lot of people, who are wondering where is Scotty or what happened to Scotty because everything happened so abruptly.
Right.
You know, so, but like I said, there is not anyone that you could talk to in this city who would have a bad word to say about him because he was so cordial.
Yeah.
You know, his every interaction with him, it made you smile, you know,
right,
because
right.
he was just so, hey, how you doing? You know, and it was just everything with him was just beautiful. You know, his interactions with people and people fell in love with him. He was an easy guy to get along with.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I say, he's in a much better place, but it's such a loss for those of us left behind.
Right. Yeah. Yes, it is. You know, this is, you know, it's just amazing, you know, how everything has come to be in the past few days, actually. You know, how everything has just come to be by, you know, Dennis calling me, and I normally don't even answer numbers or call back numbers that
right.
I don't know.
Of course not.
And, yeah, and I happen to leave the house, and I left my phone. And I come back in and I see this number and I said, you know, let me call it. And I called and it was Dennis. You
wow.
know, so there's and it's just like he said, God is all around this
yeah.
situation involving Scotty because there's so much beauty in it. There's
yeah.
so much beauty in it, you know, for your listeners to know that he wasn't alone, that he was loved and that people cared about him just as much as your listening
oh.
audience did.
Yeah, know? I'm so glad to hear that. So glad to know that.
Yeah, this guy, he left, I'll put it like this. It's wonderful to know that he left a legacy.
Yes.
And it's a legacy of beauty, you know, because I had no idea that Scotty was even into music to the point to where he, you know, may have written or performed or recorded. You know, I had no clue until I talked to Dennis. So there are so many things that have come out in these past few days. You know, it's just like it kind of makes you ask yourself, who was this guy?
I know what you mean. And he was very humble, didn't
yeah.
want to talk about it. But I'll tell you, from the stories he would tell on the air, I guarantee you he was performing with groups on stage, because some of his stories that he had, he wouldn't have had any vantage point to know them otherwise. So he never wanted to talk about who or specifics, but it was very obvious that he was absolutely, if not on vinyl, certainly on stage with some of these groups.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about that. And so his stories were just priceless, and you don't have that kind of information any other way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I don't have to, but I just want to thank you and your listeners, you know, for embracing him.
Oh, yeah. No, he was. I'll tell you something. He was a talk show host's dream, you know, because obviously these shows live and die by the caliber of the caller, and no one was better than Scotty.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, so you don't have to thank me. We all thank him because it was just a pleasure knowing him on the radio.
Yeah, 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 that's wonderful. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
And Cameron, many of those shows, most of them, are archived, and I can show you how to access them.
And okay. we're gonna try. If I can find the time, we're going to try to do a best of Scotty and do some of his calls and play some of these stories back to back. So it is all online, but if I can find the time to go hunt for some of those calls, I'd just love to do that.
Wow. Yeah, like a compilation of Scotty.
That's right. Best of Scotty.
Yeah. That is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be amazing. And I'll as well if I can to contact or get in contact with Miss Natalie.
Yes.
And let her know. I'll try to, you know, I'll try to use my resources and see how I can get in contact with her, and possibly you can have her either on a call or possibly Riley, you can talk to her personally because I know she would love to talk to you. I'm pretty sure she would.
Okay, no, I'd enjoy that.
Yeah. So I'll put my nose to the grind and see what I can come up with on my end also.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm grateful that we, in our little Monday night trivia, we always do a little contest, and Scotty would win them all the time, and it takes forever for us to do a mailing, but I'm so glad that about a month before he passed, at least he finally got one of our mailings, and we sent him a whole bunch of stuff, and he was delighted to get it.
Wow, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, things like this just don't happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's no coincidence. And I feel honored right now. You know, I feel blessed and I feel honored just to be on the phone talking about Scotty.
Yeah.
You know, this feels like this is closure.
Right.
You know, for people who cared about him, who just loved the way he spoke about music and his knowledge of music and just became enamored with him, you know, they can have closure and know, like I said, that he was well respected in our city. He was well loved in our city. And once again, nobody would ever have anything bad to say about Scott.
That's so nice. So nice.
Yeah.
And thank you. And of course, Dennis, thank you for all the work you have been going through to find people like Cameron and the rest of the story.
Riley, I had the fun part.
Ah. Well, no.
You know, listening 2 months of Where is Scotty? It's just had to be done. I had the fun part.
Ah. Well, bless you for that. And look forward to any more information you get for us.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
We will.
Appreciate it.
Cameron, I'll let you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll get in touch with you, and let's get together on Monday.
Yes, sir. And Ms. Riley, I thank you so much, and you just gained a listener.
Oh, thank you, Cameron, and I hope you'll call again. I'll look forward to that.
And I sure will. Yes, ma'am.
All right,
you
good
all
deal.
Take care.
Thanks. All right, thanks. And thank you, Dennis. We'll talk to you soon. All right, so it is time now, the moment you've been waiting for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
What's your choice? What's your choice? What's your choice? Tell me, who do you love? Am I the one that you're thinking of?
at all the boys standing in line. Tell me, who do you love, girl? Make up your mind. Make up your mind. What's your choice? Tell me, who do you love? Am I the one that you're thinking of?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Not only did he play on it, but he co-wrote it. Gerald Sims. And we'll hear more from Gerald next hour. We'll also hear from Nick in Baltimore, JT in Aurora, Marlo in Jackson, and Marianne in Chicago. Stay right where you are another hour right here of the Raleigh James Show on WGN Radio.
See what loneliness can be. You've got a taste of a pain. Hey, mama, for a change. But I'm gonna be with my new summer one. Having lots of fun. Cause I fooled you this time. The last life is mine. Staying at home, why you choose to roam? The last laugh is only you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, it's Gene Chandler on Checker 1966. And not only is Gerald Sims on guitar, but he arranged it. A fine song. All right. And yes, mourning the passing of Gerald Sims. And also Chicago's Sam Zell tonight. And of course, Scotty, who we will continue to get more information on, courtesy of Dennis, who we thank immensely for this journey. All right. So, JT called a couple hours ago, I do believe, and wanted a request. Whatever it is, he gets to hear it next. Let's find out. If he's still there, that is. All right. JT, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Oh, man. Well, what do you want to hear? Because you'll hear it next.
Oh, Benny Spellman. Traces.
Absolutely. Happy to play Benny Spellman.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it'll be on next.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be listening.
Thanks for waiting. I appreciate it. All
it's
right,
okay.
So good deal.
Good show tonight.
Thanks, appreciate that. All right, so Benny Spellman, let me find it here before I forget, and Lipstick Traces, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, Fortune Teller, and every now and then, another fine Benny Spellman. But Lipstick Traces is JT's choice, and that's the one he gets to hear next. All right, so we've got Nick in Baltimore. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, good morning.
Yeah.
I wanted to say a few words in light of the last half hour. I enjoyed those calls, too, with Scotty. And, you know, from a listener standpoint, they're enjoyable, and also you learned a lot.
Absolutely.
And I'm sorry for the loss. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, he was just so nice and so knowledgeable.
Yeah, and that came through on the air.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that at the top before I, you know, get into these other topics. The other topics are just informational, but I just wanted to say I just wanted to say a few words because
I'm hoping wherever he is, he's hearing this right now.
I imagine he is. I do believe that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, thank you for the program and the way you talk to people and communicate to people, and it's really nice.
Yeah, we have a nice thing going in the evenings when nothing matters. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. Well, human contact matters, and that's the thing. It's the humanity.
Yeah.
And that's the key here. You have humanity. Your listeners have humanity. We got John and the people over at GN, and that's very. It comes through. I wanted you to know that. So.
Oh, thank you. And of course, you're a big part of it, and we love hearing from you. I'm thrilled every time I see your name on the screen. Truly.
No, I appreciate that. The items I wanted to mention. I told John back surgery was one of them, and then the internet radio thing.
Oh man!
But I wanted to tell people, you know, about 22 years ago, I had back surgery.
Oh no!
And I've regretted it ever since because it really decreased my mobility, and what happened is I fell and broke my back in the ice. You know, should not have gone out, but I wanted to go out.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So went through a long process where they did a fusion, and then I still had pain, and then they put a device in my back. Well, the device caused problems, and it worsened my balance, and so I had the thing removed. It still has not helped, but then you know, I exercise and try to do what I can. I just wanted to tell people that if ever you're told you need back surgery, do your research and investigate and get a good surgeon.
Well, and make it be your last resort, because sadly, the research shows that back surgery has about the lowest success rate you can imagine.
Right, and, it's a 75% failure rate.
Right, and you know, even higher in some studies, lower in others, but for the most part, it is not a good outcome for many people. In fact, there's a diagnostic term, post-surgical spine syndrome, and because of the number of people who are in pain forevermore. And unfortunately, the repeat surgery has even more diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in some cases, when you're talking about, say, a fourth surgery, less than 5% of the patients are going to have relief.
That sounds just about right, because the only reason I went for that situation was I wanted to get off the pain medicine.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the pain medicine had side effects with regard to the stomach and all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, are you kidding? Constipation, my God, and everything else. Yeah, of course.
And that, and also the, you know, nausea and everything. And I didn't want to get hooked on pain medicine, because what happens is you end up getting more and more and more, or needing more and more.
Right.
Getting hooked, and I just I said no. Well, we'll do this, and I should have stopped while I was ahead. And I just want to let people know that, you know, like you said, and like I was saying,
make it your last, absolute dead last choice.
Exactly.
And
because
there's so many other things that they don't tell you about in allopathic medicine, but there's so many other possibilities. Try them all before you consider this.
Right. And like the doctor I have now, what I like about the doctor I have now at Johns Hopkins, she is the kind of doctor that, and my sister has the same doctor, that she is very careful about prescribing any kind of medication. And I like a doctor like that, who's very scientific, very ethical. Some of these people, you gotta, you know, they're in it for the money. I hate to say it.
Well, there is a percentage of that, no doubt about it. And, you know, that's the elephant in the room and you can't ignore it. But unfortunately, when it comes to back surgery, it's much deeper than that. The entire system is flawed in terms of outcome. It just is.
Right.
And, you know, I wouldn't dare tell you why exactly, because that's for greater medical minds than me, God knows. But the results are very evident and very available, especially in this era of online activity, that you can take a look at it. Now, there's time when pain management, obviously pain management is always good, but when pain management includes medication. But no doubt about that, too. But you do need somebody who's not just throwing something at you and saying, oh, you'll be fine, and then one day just cutting you off, which, you know, leaves people in another type of hell.
Right.
You need people who will work with you, because there are many different modalities now. And a lot of the pain management specialists or anesthesiologists who have a wealth of information that may be helpful to you. So I'm not saying stay home and give up. I just think that if there's a knife involved, run.
Right. And you're absolutely right. And again, you know, just be very careful. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, the other thing was just informational with regard to some of these internet radio sets that are out there. You know, that's one of my big hobbies now. So, with regard to anyone who has there's a Sangine model out there, a portable. It's a WFR-39. They're slowly upgrading, you know, the software, and they do that through the internet.
Uh-huh.
And the other night, they upgraded the software, and I lost six of my favorites.
Right.
So I called them over in near Los Angeles, and they're very nice over there. And within the next day, the guy, he said, well, give me what you lost, and I'm going to email them, the people doing the software. And within about 24 hours, overnight, they fixed it.
So good.
And came back.
Good.
And, but there's going to be another software upgrade. It has to do with the battery, you know, to extend the life of the battery. But, so anyone who has one of those units, expect an upgrade.
Okay.
Also, there's going to be a major upgrade with the Grace Internet Radio.
Oh, yeah?
Within the next two to four months.
What are they working on?
They're adding music services and
okay,
make things a little more user-friendly.
Okay.
And that's my understanding. So, something, I guess, either Amazon Music or they're adding something with that, so that's going to be happening.
Okay.
So those are the updates.
Good.
So again, I'm sorry for the loss of Scotty.
Yeah.
We enjoyed his phone calls too, and you know, God bless him and his family, and God bless you and John and everyone.
Well, and likewise, and don't wait too long to call again.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Yeah, I don't often do it, but I was sitting here, you know, not feeling good, obviously, about Scotty and Gerald Sims and Sam Zell and all that. I ate an entire bag of potato chips, and now I feel just awful. And I'll tell you what, I deserve every pain I'm feeling, but you don't deserve having to hear about it, so I'll stop that. But I will play Lipstick Traces for JT next, right here on WGN Radio.
Your pretty brown eyes, your wavy hair, I won't go home no more, 'cause you're not there. I'm telling you now, like I told you before, I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more. Lipstick traces on a cigarette, every memory lingers with me yet. I've got it.
I'm so in love with you. Don't leave me no more.
Won't you come on home?
Oh, won't you come on home?
Won't you come back home?
Oh, won't you come back home? I'm crazy about you, can't do without you. Oh, won't you come on home?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Betty Spellman, Lipstick Traces. Minute, 1962. Alan Toussaint wrote it. Toussaint, I should say. And that was under his mother's name, Naomi Neville. But nonetheless, it was him. All right, so that was for JT. The flip side of that, by the way, is Fortune Teller, another fine Benny Spellman record all the way around. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And speaking of requests, I told Laura in Willowbrook last night, hang on after the show, let me play your request, and John hung up on her. He didn't realize that I had said that. So Laura was kind enough to call back, and she's going to hear a request next. But what is it?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no problem at all. This is for Scotty. Gosh, he was such a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
I always look forward not only to your show, but hearing his voice and what he had to say. And I was wondering what you think about Friendship from Cole Porter. I just figure, you know, I think he thought of everybody as his friend, even though we never met, you know.
Okay.
And I think, like, the whole group of everybody that's on this, that calls in, I feel like we're family, we're friends, you know what I mean?
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, so I was thinking that, or either that or the People by Barbra Streisand. So if you think either of those are appropriate, I'd appreciate either of those or just anything you choose, because we just love Scotty.
I'll be happy to do Friendship, but there's no way I'm doing People.
There you go. All right. I figure I'd say you choose.
All right, good deal. Be happy to do that. All right, thanks.
All right,
appreciate
thanks, Raleigh. Great
yeah,
show.
Appreciate that.
Bye.
All right, so yeah, that was actually in a movie in the 70s, but of course the song is much older than that, From Anything Goes by Cole Porter, right? And I think, let's see, who am I going to have it by? I guess maybe Judy Garland and Johnny Mercer. Yeah. All right, so 888-876-5593. Is 8888-Raleigh. I'll muddle who I want to sing Friendship. And I'm inclined to the Judy Garland and Johnny Mercer version. But we'll see. I'll play it next, as promised. And we will catch up with Mary Ann, who's been waiting forever, and Marlo. Yeah, hope he heard us playing Hook It to the Mule last night. And we got JJ and Karen. And there's a line available for you on WGN Radio.
If you're ever in a jam, here I am.
If you're ever in a mess, S-O-S.
If you ever feel so happy you land in jail, I'm your bail.
It's friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgot, ours will still be hot.
Dig, dig, dig.
If you're ever down a well, ring my bell.
And if you're ever up a tree, just phone to me.
Yes, sirree. If you ever lose your teeth and you're out to dine, borrow mine. It's friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forget, ours will still be great.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and I almost played the Lucy and Ethel version from the I Love Lucy show, but that was more of a sight gag. You had to see it. Well, anyway, that is what Laura wanted to hear, and that is what she did hear, Friendship, Cole Porter, and of course sung by none other than Judy Garland and Johnny Mercer. So there. 888-876-5593. We always defer to first-time callers, and that would be Terry in Park Forest. Thanks for calling WGN, Terry.
Oh, you're welcome, Raleigh. It's so nice to talk to you. I've tried a couple times but wasn't able to get through, and I was saying to John, I usually listen to you. I work afternoons, evenings, so I'm hearing you as I'm coming home, and I wouldn't want to be driving and trying to talk on the phone.
Yeah.
So when I got home tonight, I said, darn it, I'm going to call, and here I am.
Well, I'm so glad you did.
Thank you. Thank you. So basically, I've enjoyed, you know, listening to you. I've learned a lot about music, you know, and listening to you, and just enjoyed the various people who call in. And I have to also say how sad I was to hear about, you know, us losing Scotty.
Yeah.
And enjoyed, you know, when he would call in, and just wanted to, you know, check in and share that.
Well, I'm just so glad you did, and I hope you're going to call me again.
I sure will. I sure will.
All right. Well, I'm counting on that.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it. All right.
My pleasure.
So,
bye now.
Okay, bye. Good to meet Terry in Park Forest. All right. So 888-876-5593 is going to take us to Marianne in Chicago. All right, Marianne, thanks for waiting.
Hey, Rally, no problem. I'd wait forever to talk to you.
Oh, God.
I called with one thing in mind, but since there's so many people on hold, I just gonna make it short and brief. Thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Cameron. This was like a really bittersweet closure for me.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he didn't like die at home and somebody didn't find him for days.
Right.
I'm so glad to find out he didn't like take his own life.
Absolutely.
And I'm just so glad that he shared his life with all of us.
Yes.
So the only thing that comes to mind is, I don't know if you'd play the song, is Wind Beneath My Wings.
Oh, I won't do that.
Okay, but the lines that remind me of him, did you ever know that you're my hero? You're everything I would like to be.
No, and that is a nice thought, but I think in Scotty's honor, we can't play that. He didn't like it any more than
okay.
I did.
I just wanted to put that out there. That's how I felt. It was like an honor to just know him through your show.
Yeah.
And I did like that friendship song, and I was thinking of Ethel and Lucy while you were playing.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes, where they rip each other apart. Yes, wonderful.
Okay, well, I'll let you get on to the next caller, and have a good weekend.
Good deal. You too. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And tomorrow night, of course, is a replay of Monday Night Trivia from this past Monday night. And I don't think we have a straggler. I think we made mincemeat out of that question before the end of the show. So I think we'll pick it up anew. But it's, of course, Carol, show prep extraordinaire, who keeps me in line with that. So I'll be finding out long before Monday. But so tomorrow night, don't call. Just listen and enjoy the show. But Monday night, absolutely, attendance will be taken. All right, JJ is in Morris, Illinois. So, JJ, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, Raleigh, good evening to one and all. It's lovely to hear everybody's voices this evening, and I'm sorry to hear about Scotty.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to hear about Mr. Zell.
Yeah.
It's, one of those things that occurs in, you know, our lifetimes where we have to, you know, see people come and go, but we always wish them the best in the afterlife. And, the reason I originally called was to ask you your question about, not to go down a political vein, but, free speech and TikTok and the whole thing about the Montana governor cutting it off. And not to say that I'm a fan of TikTok, because I watch a lot of young ladies and young gentlemen get too caught up in that and forget their true worth as people. Because sometimes in social media that occurs. But I was just wondering, when I first saw that press release go across the wire, I thought, what would Raleigh have to say? And I just was wanting to hear what you had to say about
I'll
it.
I'll be happy
to
tell you.
And oh, by the way, I was good to hear Johnny Mercer's name on the radio again.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was cool.
Agreed. No, I'll tell you exactly. It's great for headlines, but it's a hollow gesture. The state of Montana can't elect to ban items like that. The federal government could for good reason, but they would have to have good reason as far as that goes. But Montana can do it all they want. That will not withstand a court challenge.
Okay, well, you know what? I was kind of thinking the same thing, and like the other caller said, I don't wish to take up anybody's time, but if you'd ever do me a little favor for bumpers to hear, I would love to hear on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe with Johnny Mercer coming out of your breaks again. But that's for another day long ago, far away.
All right.
Thank you, Raleigh, and I'll say good night.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. right, so yeah, it's headline grabbing, and you know, it's fun from that standpoint. But you know, come on, we have this thing, the Constitution. It's a funny document, actually. And I realize that any power that is not delineated to the federal government belongs to the states. But you see, there's too many things in the Bill of Rights, if nothing else, that prohibits a governor from doing that. But we'll see. One of the funniest things, if you talk out west, is that the 12th county in eastern Oregon has voted to secede to Idaho. I'm not making this up. Don't worry. The federal government would have to approve that, too, not to mention that the Idaho legislature would have to approve it and the Oregon legislature. But it shows the divide between eastern Oregon, which is largely conservative, and, of course, coastal Oregon, Portland et al., that is largely liberal. So, but when I read that, the 12th county, I'm like, yeah, like this is going to go somewhere. All right, well, 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh. Now, if you'll remember, at the very beginning of the show, I said that Elizabeth needed help with earworms. So I'm going to get to Marlo and I'm going to get to Karen, but Chris in Greenwood is back to Elizabeth's problem, and maybe he's got a solution. So what should she do, Chris?
What should she do, Raleigh? Like, if you like the songs, like depressing songs that can't get out of your head, I'll give you an example. You remember Connie Francis when she sung Where the Boys Are?
Of course.
She sung it on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Well, and it was a big hit.
Yeah, because the one she sung on the Ed Sullivan Show was more depressing than her recording.
Yeah, well, so if that's your earworm, how do you get rid of it?
You know, she do try listening to some happy song
All right. Well,
matter of fact, can I request that song where she sung it on the Ed Sullivan show?
Well, I probably don't have the Ed Sullivan version, but I'm not 100% sure I'll play Where the Boys Are. But if I get up the gumption, we'll do that next week. All right.
And one more thing.
Yes.
I like to give one shout out.
Yes.
I want to shout out my cousin Aisha Williams for graduating and becoming a midwife.
All right. That's great.
Just graduated today in Washington, D.C.
Good.
At Georgetown.
Oh, okay.
Chris loves you.
Yeah, nice. Good going. Well, hopefully it will be the start of a terrific career for her.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, Chris. I appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. Now, we've got Marlo, and like I say, I hope that he was listening last night when we were talking about Bobby Moten. So, Marlo, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Yes, I was listening. I appreciate that. I really do.
Sure. No, well, rest in peace, yeah. Bobby. You know, too many people right now, it seems like it's just far too many people.
Yeah, I know it. I want to give my condolences to Gerald, too.
Yes.
Sorry to hear about him. The guy could really play.
Yes.
And thank God for Cameron and Dennis. Ooh, that's a big help. I'm glad Cameron called that number back. Thank God for that.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I want to request two songs Scotty would really like. Please Don't Go.
Oh.
By mm-hmm. Lanier and Company and Afraid of Losing You by mm-hmm. Lanier and Company.
Okay. All right.
And also, I did a show at the Carl Perkins Civic Center last month.
Yeah?
It's my sister Dan's production here in Jackson. And I'm going to send you a DVD of that.
All right.
And see what you think about it.
I will look forward to that.
And, Raleigh, you just don't know. We really enjoy you.
Well, thank you.
You're just one of a kind.
Well, thank you. Well, and you call, and that makes my night when you do.
Well, one day I'm going to have a concert. I want you there. I'm still looking for a good record label and a promotion person, too, if anybody needs me.
Yeah, good luck on that. I don't even understand the business anymore, you know?
That's why I'm looking, because it done got crazy, and I need a little help with all that. A good record label, a good producer, agent, I need all that.
Yeah, if they even exist. Yeah.
It's that all that's been changed since way back.
Exactly.
And I really miss Scott. I just, sometimes I don't call, I be listening to him. It just, the guy would just, we learning more about him while he's gone than when he was living, because I was wondering, who did Scotty play with? He knew so much.
He has never publicly stated.
I know it.
And, I always figured that he was entitled to his privacy on that.
That's true, and he lived that too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I wish I could have met him out there, but I'm let somebody else get the call, Riley, and you keep up the good work, and we really love what you do.
Well, thanks, and we'll get Please Don't Go for Scotty on for you next.
And I'm afraid of losing you. Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I won't forget that one either. So we'll get to Karen in Chicago and, Leah and Marcus Hook, because remember, Leah was going to tell us about Albert's solution for earworms, and so we might be able to, solve Elizabeth's problem after all. And Jim is in Chicago. Ooh, back to the ponies. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and it is Lanier and Company that kind of started it in the middle of that, but I've been listening to it off the air, and well, that's just what happened. So Please Don't Go, 1983, and a fine song as well. Yeah, and I wish Scotty didn't have to go, that's for sure, but he is in a much better place now, and we're here. All right, well, we'll talk together then. All right, so now, Leah, if you remember, we left Leah a couple hours ago. She was about to tell us about Albert's cure for the earworm, so let's have it.
You listen to music that is exactly the opposite from the earworm. It's for about a half an hour or an hour, okay, and it'll completely go away. But it has to be the opposite. Like if you're listening to, if the earworm is doo-wop music, go listen to punk or grunge or heavy metal or something for half an hour or an hour. It'll completely leave your mind. But it has to be the opposite of the kind of music that the earworm is.
Now, it's hard to say what's the opposite of soul.
Well, I don't know. Anything that's not soul.
Well, that wouldn't be opposite necessarily.
Well, whatever you think is the opposite.
Huh.
Whatever is you think is the opposite. Punk, grunge, heavy metal, hard rock.
Well, or classical. But no, opera is just a choreographed mass murder. That's a different deal. But I classical.
It would have to be something with lyrics.
Yeah.
I would think it would be not instrumental music.
Uh-huh.
Something with lyrics.
Well, I'm not sure I'd call those lyrics in opera, but okay. Very good. No, well,
okay, so that's the key.
Well, good to know. Thanks for letting us know, Leah, and thanks for calling back.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks. All right, so the opposite of whatever the earworm would be. So it was the Mills Brothers that was bothering Elizabeth, so... Well, yeah, I would think maybe Kick Out the Jams by the MC5 would be appropriate. Karen in Chicago had a request hours ago, or wanted to talk about Scotty. The floor is yours. What's left of it?
Hi. I wanted to talk about a memory that I have of Scotty. When he was trying to look up some insurance information, he said, I don't have a way to get directory assistance. Well, I called in real quick and said, yeah, hey, if we can work it out and do a three-way, I've got directory assistance, and you can call me and we can do it. And he called you back and said, I don't know who the lady was who offered that, but I really appreciate it. And the only thing that worries about me is she's got to pay for it. And I thought to myself, how thoughtful. And, you know, what's $2 among friends?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, and he said, thank you. He wanted to know who I was. And the request I have in memory of him is Shower the People You Love by James Taylor.
Okay. Well, wouldn't be one of Scotty's favorites, but it apparently is one of yours. All right.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the words.
All right, anyway. Yeah. All right, Karen, you've ended the show. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, and apologies to Jim in Chicago talking horse racing. Call me Tuesday, because Monday night is Monday Night Trivia. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, John for screening your calls, all of you for calling. I'm Raleigh James. We'll do it again on Monday Live, a replay tomorrow night. Until then, that's a wrap, and it's WGN Radio.